kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm, I exist in time and space.
That is a positive.
It's pouring the rain like a cow pissing on a flat rock. I'm tired. Today just sucks already.
Like
we're
a
okay.
Cow pissing on a flat rock.
Yeah.
I have not heard that one from you before.
Well, really? Have I not said that one before?
I don't think you have. I don't remember that one.
It's a very accurate description for rain.
I wouldn't know. I don't have any cows, but you do, so.
I don't have any cows.
Well, you had them, didn't you?
No. I had a horrible, traumatizing experience with cows in college, and, like, I don't want a cow.
That sounds like a story for another day.
It is always.
Because we got company tonight. It's not just us. We got company tonight. Joining us from Homemade Games, Adam and John, how are you guys doing today?
Hey, doing pretty good.
Pretty good, except it's raining like a horse on a jagged rock.
With a cow outside.
But is it pissing on it?
Yeah. Oh,
really?
Smells like it.
It smells like it. Is that why you asked about if whether or not microphones can transmit smell so far?
Yeah, we didn't want to offend anybody.
One of the reasons.
So how are you guys doing? You're here to talk about your game Purple Chicken Spaceman, which just as we are going live, it's been out for about an hour now. How does it feel? How are you guys doing?
It feels pretty good to be a millionaire within like an hour.
Nice.
I was a little bit unexpected. Thought it was going to take 2-3 hours, but it really only took about 56 minutes. So feeling pretty good about that.
To be nice. Fair, though, you're cornering the market on chicken games on Xbox.
That was our goal all along. Yeah
we noticed it was an untapped market for sure, so we wanted to get in there.
I fully support this behavior. We need more chicken games.
And not just any chicken. It is a purple chicken who's also a spaceman.
Yeah, as they do.
It just gets better.
So for the people who don't know what the hell this game is, give us the sales pitch.
All right. It's a classic retro space shooter. You know, we wanted to crank the difficulty back up to how we remember it being when we were young tots, which was not 30 years ago. And, you know, that special feeling you get when you get so mad with a game that you throw the controller through the wall, your mom gets mad at you, and then you come back 2 hours later and you want some more. That's what we were trying to accomplish. But we wanted to soften the blow with some, you know, funny cartoon graphics and silly-ass music.
Because if it looked funny and it was funny, maybe people wouldn't hate it so much for being so hard. That's what we kind of went for there.
Yeah.
How can you be mad at that chicken? He's so cute.
He really is
mad with that music playing.
Yeah.
How can you not be?
So you mentioned that this is a difficult game. That was one of the things that we made sure to mention in our review. This is a tough game. What made you guys want to make such a difficult game to play?
Well, like I said, I think it all harkens back to our nostalgia, but also our masochism, maybe. Sort of. We'd sit around having a couple of beers and coding, and then, you know, it would just get harder and harder, and we'd start laughing more and more, and we knew we hit the right spot.
Nice.
It's funny because we play tested it a lot. There's just the two of us, and it was really hard, and I was on invincibility and just to get through the level to play test. But if I found that I got better, and then I was like, oh, I don't think this is hard enough, and I kept trying to make it harder. And
yeah.
Correct me and say, no, it's too hard. And I think, no, it needs to be harder. I can finish it. There's someone else in the world that can finish this in like 30 seconds, I'm sure. But watching Carnage do the video earlier, watching him live play, yeah, I guess it is kind of hard. He was having a little bit of difficulty. Because there is more than two buttons. There's three buttons. So there's I guess I'm having trouble with it.
They're mentioning in chat that apparently we are starting to get a slight echo going on.
Oh, okay, I'll talk quieter.
I think you just might have got too far away from the mic, and so both were picking it up.
Maybe.
Okay.
That's what it kind of sounded like. But yeah, I think Carnage's biggest failure is that he didn't check the controls list to see what he needed to push. And so he just assumed that because one button didn't work, none of them did, which is a very K4 thing to do.
Yeah, buttons are difficult to him.
You can't like base a game's difficulty off of Carnage's experience because he plays on self-imposed hard mode.
Yeah, let's see. He went how many stages before realizing you could use bombs?
Like four.
That was so much fun to watch, by the way. I was watching it on my phone on the way over here and laughing my ass off. It was pretty great. Exactly what we wanted.
Nice. So, Cole, what kind of questions do you have? I'm going to let you go first.
Why? Why a purple chicken spaceman? Like, where did it even come from? And I'm not even mad about it. And I think that there's, I'm going to go on a little tiny tangent because that's what I do. But I actually raise chickens and I actually raise purple chickens.
No.
They're a real thing. They're not quite as vibrantly purple as your chicken, but there are color variants for some breeds that you can get that's actually called lavender.
Can I have one?
And it's like, it's a gray that's so like a cool toned gray that it looks purple. So yeah, there are I had lavender Orpingtons and lavender Araucanas. So you can Google those.
That is super cool. And yeah. I could pretend like I knew all about that.
I'm sure you did. Most people don't.
But I didn't.
I would totally Google those names of those chickens if I could figure out how you spelled those, but
I'll put them in the Skype chat for you.
Nice. So
where he came from was, I'm going to be honest, I don't really remember exactly when it happened, but it was back in high school. I just always been a fan of like silly sounding phrases and words. I was always a big goof. So purple chicken just sort of came out one day and it became this little doodle that I drew all the way through high school, and he sort of stuck with me. Just this thing I draw and everything. And so we were working on like mobile games and pixel art games. And when I wanted to make the jump to something a little more hand-drawn looking, it seemed just like the right fit for that dude.
I thought Joe was about to ask something. Yeah, I thought Joe was about to ask something and I was going to let it go because I thought I heard it.
No, I'm waiting on you, Cole.
We're professionals.
Yeah, we have our shit together, as they say.
Yeah, same here.
My big question is, what kind of substances were you on when you came up with this idea?
See, that's a question I get asked a lot. It's like, what am I on? And I've never had to be on anything. It's just how I am. But yeah, I mean, we'd get together a couple nights a week and code for a couple hours and throw back a couple beers. That's pretty much it.
Always beers, just beers. Oh no, we had wine once, I think.
Oh, we did.
Yeah,
that was
purple
nice.
Wine.
Purple wine.
I remember that evening.
That's a lot.
Oh my lord. Yeah, I'm a coconut rum guy myself. So.
Nice.
Mix it with Mountain Dew. Mm.
What was your favorite part of the game?
The music, easily. I love Perry Grip. What's your favorite track? Purple Chicken Spaceman, obviously. Level one is just amazing. Because it's the first stage. You just hear it so much, and it's just so catchy.
The dessert one's better.
I agree. I love the dessert one. That's my favorite one.
I was giggling the whole time.
That's my ringtone.
Oh my lord.
I think it's a better looking stage too of all the stages. And it Carnage compared the game to Cuphead when he was playing it, and I was like, oh, the dessert stage makes so much more sense when you say it like that. Because there's a dessert stage on Cuphead. And come to think of it, that's where I rage quit Cuphead as well.
Ah, and that's so funny.
No wonder I had some deja vu here.
Yeah, I remember when Cuphead came out, because we'd been working on, like, we're slow, right? Because we're two guys for, yeah, like, a few years now, like, starting over and starting over. So we had all this stuff, like, the levels all mocked up and some of them complete. And then Cuphead came out, and we were playing that, and we got to a gravestone bad guy, and we're like, what? And then we kept playing. We got to the dessert level, and we're like, okay, come on. We have to change our game now?
Well, yeah. Well, we met those guys at E3 several years ago. I think
clearly they stole your
idea.
I may
have had some drinks, and maybe I told them what was in our game.
It's possible, yes.
So how long has the game been in the works?
Oh, God. I don't even want to admit. I mean, really, it probably took if we were working on it full time, it would probably be about 6 months of work for this version of the game. When it started, it was just me doing a mobile game where you're flicking a chicken around. It was kind of physics-based, and we did several different sort of mock-ups and demos, and Perry was in from the start, so that was cool. But that was in 2011, that the first version of the game
was
being up, yeah.
And then
ID at Xbox happened. So
how did you go from a mobile physics game to a shmup that we have now? Like, why?
It was just because the device changed. We went to the ID at Xbox like kickoff event and got super excited, and that physics game didn't work with that technology. And since that's the game I was working on when we went there, we wanted to make that game.
How did we get invited to that?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either, so that was not a good segue.
Why would you do that?
So we went to Microsoft campus in Seattle before the Xbox One came out. And so they did this big thing where they were like, we're coming out with a new console in a few months, and you guys are all indie developers. You guys should get on the ground floor. And they showed us what the console could do, and they told us about their program and how they would work with us and help us, give us dev kits and figure out how to make games. And we kind of just went, this is the coolest thing ever, because we're hanging out at Microsoft, going around their campus. They're giving us free food and booze and letting us play Xbox games that aren't out yet. So,
oh, that's awesome.
We're kind of sold on that. And that was what, 2014?
Yeah, 13 or 14. So
we took about 5 years on and off to make this. There was a point where like one whole year went by that we didn't even touch it. And it did change several times. Our old prototypes were not the same at all. We had party games. We had, I don't know, so how big card games we were thinking about making. We had a million things, but we ended up with a shoot 'em up, and we did like a couple levels, and then we just kept at it slowly, very slowly. But we got it, so that's cool. It's really cool to see other people play it and have it actually out there in the wild.
My mind is reeling at how this could have been a card game.
Oh, God.
And I'm just like thinking of, yeah. So you're all free eggs.
When we went to the to Microsoft, they were showing us how you could use your smart devices in conjunction with the console and the smart glass, I think they call it. So we were all looking at, like, you could make a card game. Like, everyone could have their own cards in their hands on their cell phones and be like interacting with the board on the screen. And so that's where we kind of thought, no one's going to do this. We'll do it first and it'll be great. And then, you know, we have lives. So we didn't get around to doing it.
Did they have Windows phones that they were showing you on?
Did they?
No, it was all smart glass. So the,
Hello.
Did we break it?
Oh no.
Hello.
There you are.
There you go. I think.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you guys. Can you hear us all right?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you.
Good.
Anyway, Windows phones, remember those? Apparently Skype didn't like us talking about Windows phones, so it's like, no, we're going to cut this call right now.
Yeah, right away.
Someone from Microsoft is spying on the call. Send us your games, Microsoft. We want to review them.
We visited the Skype headquarters when we were at Seattle, and there were empty beer bottles at everybody's desk.
Nice. Well, that explains a lot.
Skype team was a cool team to be on.
They had cool chairs. Remember the chairs? Cool chairs.
Were they purple?
They weren't. So they could have been cooler.
You know what they could have been? They could have been like a purple feathery chair with chicken legs.
Yes.
I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah, you should be our merchandising person.
I would be fantastic.
That'll be in the Purple Chicken Spaceman Limited Collector's Edition. It comes with a chair.
It's extremely limited.
$250.
I'd probably buy it. I have
you
a problem.
You would definitely fucking buy it.
I'd buy it.
Throw in a Steam code for the soundtrack, or what is it, SoundCloud? Is that where you buy soundtracks at? SoundCloud?
Where do you buy soundtracks? Napster?
Yeah. LimeWire? I don't know. That's what I would still use. I don't know any better.
So who's all involved in the soundtrack? We know Perry Grip is involved, which, by the way, that's an amazing get. Who else did you get involved with the music?
Perry Grip was from the very beginning, like Adam said. Like, we've always had that name. And I don't know if you want to tell the story about the idea at Xbox.
Oh, yeah. So I think Perry might have been our end to the idea at Xbox program.
Really?
Fun bit of trivia. I remember, like, when you had to apply, right? So we went to the event, and then we send them our game ideas, and they had to be approved. So I wrote up a pitch for Purple Chicken Spaceman and mentioned that Perry Grip was in it. And at 3 a.m. one day, I get an email from Chris Charla, the director of ID at Xbox. And he just says, all it says is, Perry Grip from Nerf Herder? ? I'm like, oh, I think we're in. And we were. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, when we were fleshing out the soundtrack, we had another awesome band who had approached us earlier when we were doing pixel art games mostly. So their music didn't really fit with that. But they're called the Spinwires. I think they're out of New York. And awesome, awesome band. So one of the final levels, there's this rockin' soundtrack. The song we use is Blackout Romeo. And we use the instrumental version of it. It's probably my favorite, other than Desert of the Desert, my favorite one on the soundtrack easily. The other one that gets stuck in my head the most, actually. We also have Incompetech, a guy who does a lot of royalty-free type music for a lot of projects. YouTubers use him all the time. He's awesome. Kevin McLeod is his name. Really, really talented guy. So he provided a lot of tunes and stuff for the game as well.
Nice. How did you get Perry Grip involved, by the way?
I cold emailed him. One morning, I was thinking of the game. I was like, I had just got my iPad, so I was like binging a lot of YouTube, and I got hooked on Perry Grip. And I'm like, oh my god, he writes all these silly animal songs. I'll email him and ask him if he'd be interested. I get an email back half an hour later. Wow. Yeah, that sounds awesome. Like, holy crap, the guy is so down to earth. He's awesome.
That reminds me, that's a lot like the time that I messaged cold, just cold emailed Charlie Theron, and I was like, hey, what's up? Would you like to go out? And, well, I never got a response.
Aww.
But other than that, it's a lot like that story.
That was an unfortunate ending there. Now I'm
sorry, man.
I was hoping that something good came of that.
We're delightfully optimistic around here. Yeah.
Just a little. Yeah, Spinwires are really cool. I know that they had their music in Super Toy Cars as well. So I love hearing when we've played bands on the show and they have music in other games. So that's really cool that you guys got them involved.
Yeah, really cool guys too. Like, really, it's weird. I don't know. I know I'm making games for the Xbox, which may seem crazy. It seems crazy to me. But it's weird when I meet someone that I think is like, oh, I'm talking to you. And they just talk like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'm interested in that. I'll do that. And you're like, what, really? I'm nobody. What? So there's a little bit of that, especially when we went to E3 and you'd meet someone and, you know, you're talking to the guy that created Gears of War, you know, you're talking to Cliffy B or something. And you're like, he's just talking to you as if you're also, you know, we're all in the same thing here. Are we? We're in the same thing? Yeah. Purple Chicken Spaceman's my game.
That sits up there with Gears of War, I think. Yeah. They're both AAA, high quality.
I like you. Is that what you said? AAA?
AAA.
I
don't know why we didn't do that. That's obvious. Wow.
Well, you could patch it in. There you go. Update the description on the store.
Are there plans for future updates?
There are some things we've noticed that we have to fix. I won't detail what they are, but
easy mode. Easy mode. You can even call it Cole's a bitch mode, and I'd be okay with that.
But I was going to say we stand by our difficulty, but I guess if we called it that, it'd be cool.
You just want an easy mode because you can't play it.
I haven't finished my own game. Okay.
How have you not finished your own game? Is it just that hard that you can't even do it?
It's just that last level, man. I get frustrated, and then I come back for more later. I'm taking my time. You know, I don't want to steal everybody else's thunder.
I know Carnage, when he was streaming the game, had a couple of suggestions. He's mentioning a rapid fire button would be nice, and he wants a quick restart option. Mm-hmm. So that once you get a hit, you don't have to go back to the main map menu and then go back into a stage.
I noticed him doing that, and it's interesting, actually. Once you start watching, like, the world playing your game, which is really weird, the things you notice like that you would never have noticed inside your own bubble of testing, right? So it's kind of cool.
I never would have thought to have a quick quit mode, because I'm always like, okay, I'm going to do it. No, okay, I got hit, but I'm still going to do it. Where Carnage is like, I give up. I just want to quit and go back and start over again. I need my 3 lives back.
You can call it K4's a bitch mode.
I'm beginning to see a theme here.
Little one.
We're all bitches in the long run.
Uh-huh. The other thing we thought about, and I'm not announcing this or anything, it's just a thought we had.
Are you making an announcement, though?
I'm not making an announcement.
Oh, I'm sorry. So this is official on the record.
Well, on April Fools, we quote unquote announced as a joke. It's not an announcement. Battle Royale mode.
Oh, geez.
And then people liked it. And I'm like, oh crap, do we have to do that now?
How'd you implement Battle Royale?
Oh, I started thinking about it. And you could have this huge starfield looking down, and you're like, you know, like those IO games, you know, the one where you're eating each other. And you could just all be chickens shooting at each other until one man's standing. It'd be super easy.
Epic's going to steal this idea. You know that.
Probably.
Right? Epic, I own that idea.
I did wonder if you guys had considered like a survival mode or a boss rush.
Yeah, we actually had considered that. That was one of the things we were going to do, along with, without spoiling anything, when you get to the end of the game, you have to backtrack a bit, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've
never
finished
got
it yet.
No,
we didn't get that far, no.
We were going to have a reverse
Carnage got further than I got.
You have to play through the whole thing backwards.
I wanted to make it like you go through left or right the entire way, kill the boss at the end, and then work your way back right to left to go back to Earth. That's what I wanted to do.
Oh, that's cool.
But that seemed like too hard for people.
It's excessive. that's where I draw the line.
All in one shot. No extra lives, no retries.
I thought that too. I was like, make an achievement. Do it in 3 lives, the entire game.
Oh, my arthritis is hurting already just thinking about it.
But I wouldn't be able to do that, so I didn't think it was fair to make it someone else try to do it.
What kind of fun did you have with the achievements?
A lot of fun.
I know there's a lot of puns in the titles. We only made the
game because we wanted to make the achievements, but there were days that we were like, this stupid game, let's stop it. No, but the achievements, it's going to be really fun. We get to make achievements.
It's true, you wouldn't shut up about it.
So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. We tried to come up with ones that were easy, also ones that were a little bit hard. We wanted people to try to guess them, like going through a level without using a bomb maybe is an achievement. I don't know, but things like that, go through without being hit. Put a couple
an easy
that
one.
Maybe inside jokes to us, like things we found funny, because we made this while we were drinking. So there'd be times where like I'd be laughing at something and Adam would be crying at it. And they're like, we got to make that called the achievement. And it probably doesn't make any sense to anyone else. But no, it's when we see it pop, we laugh.
It's like pot shots at our buddies and stuff.
Like, give us an example of a pot shot at one of your friends.
Oh, but they might be listening.
No one listens to this show. It's fine.
All right, one of our buddies. He hates Rumble in games. I don't know why. So, and his name is Tree. So when you turn that achievement off, you get an achievement called "Don't Shake the Tree."
Nice.
I got that. That was the first one I got, and I was like, I did it on accident. because I was just scrolling through the menu, but I have arthritis and my fingers are crooked, and sometimes I bump things I don't mean to. And I was just like scrolling down, and somehow my hand spasmed or whatever, and it flipped off right on the vibration on accident. I just kept going back, and then the achievement popped. I was like, the fuck did I even do?
There you go. Free 5Gs for you.
Fuck yeah. Throw another one on the pile.
All Carnage is spoiling achievements there.
That's his favorite thing to do.
Yeah, he's going nuts linking things in chat.
Go to bed, Sean. He said, is that about one of your kids?
No, it's about one of our friends who only plays at like 1 o'clock in the morning because his family's asleep. So he's always complaining that we don't play with him, but he doesn't come online until 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And then he comes in as a zombie the next day because he's playing games all by himself overnight. So if you try to, I don't know if we say what it is. Does it say what it is when you click on the link? I didn't click the link, but
yeah,
it's you get it for playing really late at night. That's how you get it.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so only he'll have it.
Play into the wee hours of the night.
See, I play at fucked up hours. That's why I'm always fussing when there's multiplayer in a game, and I'm like, look, I tried. But I'm always by myself at 5 a.m. Eastern time.
Wow.
There's only so much I can do.
I found that sometimes I'll be playing games, like maybe Destiny or something, and I've played way too long, and all of a sudden the light is shining in through the window in the basement. And I'm like, oh my god, it's daylight. So I was like, oh, we can't do this anymore. So what I did was I just put up curtains that blocked it out. I found that really helped.
Blackout curtains are the best.
See, my problem is I don't get to go to bed late. I have to get up super ass early.
Yeah,
I have kids. I have to get early.
Yeah, I got the kids. The kids ruin everything. Although they're the best playtesters ever, kids are.
True. And also, they're helpful when you're playing review games and you get stuck and you're like, here, help me here.
Right. I'm going to pass the controller to you.
Mom's hands hurt. You want to help me?
Sure, they don't.
You play this.
Come carry me through Overcooked 2 DLC.
I was going to say they probably shouldn't be playing Call of Duty, but, you know, whatever. They got to learn the words sometime.
What is the story behind the hashtag not Bruce achievement?
I'll let you handle that one. That's a good one.
And Bruce is watching. He's going to know now. Well, okay,
so how he finds out.
Bruce's Xbox broke a long time ago, and he had it under warranty, and he just refused to send it in. He was just like, hey, did you get around to doing that yet? I'm too busy. I haven't gotten around to doing it. So for the longest time, he did not have an Xbox. So he made an achievement that if you just press the button to start the game, it goes hashtag not Bruce, because you're obviously not Bruce, because Bruce doesn't have an Xbox. But in the time that we took to make the game, he did finally get his Xbox repaired, and he has a new Xbox.
So now it just seems mean.
Is there a way to hard code it so that he cannot possibly get that achievement?
I asked that exact question. We looked that up.
He honestly looked that up. Like, could we say, like, if gamer tag equals this, then achievement doesn't work? But there was no way to do that.
Damn. That would have been great.
I know.
Oh, Jesus.
That would be horrible if he was an achievement hunter and he couldn't get the completion.
Oh, it would be the best. Yeah, it would be the best.
Oh, my Lord. So the game's been in the works for quite a while. Have you guys taken it to different trade shows or events?
No, not really. No, we've sort of... like, we brought stickers to E3 and stuff like that, but we've never shown the game on the floor.
So the people getting their hands on it, this is like the first time the public's getting their hands on this game.
This is the first time, yeah.
Have there been reactions you weren't prepared for?
I was not prepared for the positivity.
Really?
I didn't know, because when you're so close to something for so long, you don't know... you don't know if it's good or not, right? Like, it doesn't, it's weird. It doesn't feel like a game to you. So to hear people playing it, to see people playing it and hear them talking about it like it's a real game is really surreal.
Well, I mean, so, it is a real game.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It's a surreal experience. I love it. I absolutely love it. And watching Carnage play, and while I was driving, after I was driving, was awesome. Like I can't wait to watch more of that kind of stuff. It's great.
Just wait till you get to watch somebody who actually knows how to play games. Yeah. It'll be a whole different experience.
If all of this process of us doing this was only for me to watch Carnage and laugh the amount of times that I laugh, that's it. That's enough. I don't even need to put it for sale. We'll just take it off the market. It's cool.
Hashtag worth it.
Delisted. Oh, my Lord. What was your favorite thing that Carnage did that had you laughing? We're just going to talk about him.
The Gary, the gravestone, and I designed all his attacks, and there were more. But anyway, we pared it down
because I made them erase them.
Yes, he did, because there were too many. I think I had like 8 or 9 originally, like one that goes forward and then up and then down and then back and then up and then down. And so we took him down to make him easier. So watching him fail miserably at dodging him when I'm looking at it going, well, obviously this is the one where he goes up and then down and then over and then back, and then someone just going and then just hitting him straight on. I'm like, wow, this is the best ever.
There were so many times I would see him hanging at the top of the screen and I'm thinking, why the fuck are you still up there? You're going up. Oh, there he goes.
Way, he's coming.
Yeah, there it goes. He's dead again.
Freaking Gary.
Oh, no, that was good, but actually I like that he didn't know there was a try again button on the menu, that he was quitting. He was deselecting try again and say go back to the map every time. I'm like, you're on the try again button.
He doesn't pay attention.
He just thought that was a heading on the page that said try again.
But I can highlight it. I wonder what happened. Never mind. I'm not even going to try.
I'm going
to
move off.
Let's just go back to the menu.
We love you, Carnage.
Self-imposed hard mode.
But the best is how quick it loads, right? If you have to go back, even if you had to go back to the menu every time, it loads really quick.
It is a quick loader.
It really does, yeah.
We worked hard on that one. That was fun to get working.
I imagine like you're speed running the load times, and just every time you start the game, you're sitting there with a stopwatch going to see how long it takes, just trying to shave off microseconds.
Yeah, pretty much. And then if it didn't crash, that was a bonus.
We actually used Game Maker to make the game, which isn't supported anymore, the version we were using. So we had no support from it. So there were certain things that would just break and there was no help. And so we had to come up with creative ideas on how to repopulate sprites and figure out when to load them and when to clear them. And it was a lot of work that because we'd put so much time and effort into using Game Maker that like 4 into 5 years of we couldn't really just stop using it and use something else.
So what do you do in that event?
Drink more beer.
Finish the game. There were weeks, like I said, it was 2 nights a week we got together for a couple hours. So there was times there'd be this one stupid little problem and we'd be on it for 2-3 weeks, banging our head against the wall until we figured it out. You're just stuck. You can only keep going or give up, right? So
is there anything in particular you had to cut from the game that you wish you could put back?
Ooh, cut from the game.
The featherless chickens?
Oh.
So we wouldn't get the M for mature?
Yes.
Do tell.
The nude hat.
I'm just totally making that up.
We had considered a two-player mode, a two-player local, where the second player was this little baby chickie, but we just... Oh, should we have done that?
Yes. We could have different hats and stuff for the purple chicken spaceman.
Ooh, costumes. Yeah.
Microtransactions.
No. I hate microtransactions. I've played with them in my mobile games because it became a landscape where you had to do that, but I felt so dirty. I just want to, I don't care if it's 25 cents I'm selling a game for, I want someone to buy my game and have the game.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the microtransactions, I feel, are out of control, especially on console games, so.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, if there was hats, they'd be free.
Yeah, we talked about DLC, and if we did DLC, it would have been free, like a free add-on, not something you had to pay for.
Do you guys have ideas for possible DLC, extra stages, or what would you do?
There's a few extra stages we had considered, and then the battle royale mode. It's what I've been thinking about lately.
But we'll take the feedback from people. If people say like, if only there was a lasagna factory level, well, maybe we'll make a lasagna factory level.
Yeah, we're just a couple of guys, so we listen to people.
Egg drop soup. There has to be a level based on egg drop soup.
Egg drop soup.
I'm okay, he's actually picking up his phone to look that up. I don't know why. You can look it up later. We're on TV right now.
Sorry.
What? Why am I wearing my best suit?
Did you wear a tuxedo?
I'm wearing a purple space suit.
He is.
Too bad you guys can't see it. I honestly thought everyone could see me.
No.
I guess I can sit down then. I was standing Skype the whole time.
I mean, you can keep standing if you want. If you feel more professional standing up before your microphone. I'm sitting down, though, so.
I'm sitting down. I'm fat and lazy. Honestly, it's the best policy.
Oh, my Lord. So where do you guys go next? Are you going to keep working on Purple Chicken Spaceman? Are you going to keep tinkering with it? Or do you guys have your eyes on another project?
I think we're actually kind of split on that. I need to, there's a few things I need to clean up and tinker with before I'm completely satisfied. John's looking to the future and playing around with Unity and stuff like that. So thinking of new ideas.
Could we see Purple Chicken Space?
What was the game I said we were making?
You said Green Tomato Scuba Diver.
Green Tomato Scuba Diver. You heard it here first. That's what our next project is.
There's an Android app called What to Draw, and I kind of, and it just like randomly mixes words up like that, and I kind of feel like that's what you're doing.
What to Draw. We would never do that. What was the name of that app again?
What to Draw.
We have a pool full of manatees, and we put balls in there with words on them, and they push them out.
Oh, man. No one's ever used that idea before.
Right?
Yeah, so we're probably going to tinker with it. We're probably, there'll be a couple updates, probably, I would say. I mean, it's fun to do, and I think people like it so far, what we've seen. We're not going to add a rapid fire button. That's just silly.
Whoa, okay.
You can only shoot so many eggs. What is it, 6 eggs at a time or something?
It was 3, but we made it 5.
Oh, 5, yeah. So
3 was brutal.
Yeah, Adam wanted 3 eggs, and like I was Mega like, Man. This is the worst.
It's the Mega Man.
Because you go boop, 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 and then you can't shoot until they're gone. So we upped it to, is 5 now?
Yeah, it's 5.
Okay. So there's 5. We're not going to do a rapid fire, because you would just hold it, and it would go 1, 2, 3, or 5. 1, 2, 3, or 5. Because
I'd be okay with that, though, because I have rheumatoid disease.
Okay,
and well, so, add, like, constantly pushing the button.
Special version.
Yeah, it's a...
We'll add that to the other mode you suggested earlier.
It's
Pussy
an
crab baby mode.
Thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Cole's a bitch mode. Wait,
bitch mode? Is that what we're calling
that
it?
That seems like we'd have to get our ratings revised if we did that.
Okay, oh, the game is rated E for everyone.
Cole's a weenie mode.
For everyone.
Yes.
So we can't put swear words in it.
You can get away with weenie. Cole's a weenie mode.
I'm okay with that. It's true.
Someone in the chat wants a minigun. What do they want a minigun for?
Why not?
Like, do you want chicken to hold a minigun? Or do you want them to minigun shoot?
It has to be a minigun that shoots eggs. It can shoot quail eggs because they're little and tiny. And go
I'm really surprised that you haven't asked why he wears a fishbowl on his head as a hat.
I actually had a different question that I felt was slightly more important.
Okay.
Where the fuck's the rooster getting the eggs?
Well.
As a chicken farmer, I have questions.
That's pretty funny.
Well, here, I'll just lay out the facts, and then you can draw your own conclusions. So, he's shooting them from his mouth rather than laying them. And if you look closely, they're clearly robin eggs. So he's somehow been stockpiling on robin eggs.
It's not somehow. Maybe Adam's not remembering how this works. in between the levels, when it goes da-da-da-da, level complete, and he flies off the screen real quick, he's getting off the screen real quick because he has to go refill robin eggs into his mouth.
He has to just chug robin eggs.
And I'm going to tell you, he can only hold about 872. I'm not saying that if you shoot 873 in a level, it won't come out, but maybe I am.
That's a distinctly specific number.
Carnage will find that out.
Carnage would be the one to miss 872 eggs and then be confused why he can't have 873.
There you go. If you release an update with some extra content to the game, you could add some achievements, and one will be to shoot 873 times on one level.
There you go.
I'm going to have to write that down.
Fresh out of eggs. That's what we'll call it.
Fresh out of eggs.
I came here to kick ass and shoot eggs. And I'm all out of eggs. Yeah, exactly.
Good God. So any other platforms in mind for the game, or are you guys just sticking with Xbox?
I think we're definitely going to be going Windows 10. That's an easy one. I'd love to go Switch. That'd be my, as a Nintendo fanboy.
Adam's a huge Nintendo fan.
Yeah, I'm a big Nintendo nerd, so that's what I'd love to do. Maybe PlayStation, I guess.
What? What's a PlayStation?
Have to.
I knew I like these guys.
just for Bruce.
You guys sound like us. I guess we'll talk about PlayStation.
Does that play games or like it just plays stations? I don't even understand. Radio stations?
It's a Blu-ray player, right? That's what it does.
It overheats. Do that anymore? That's what it does. It overheats.
It does that anymore.
It's Sony, we're totally joking, Sony. We're totally joking. Please.
I'm not okay.
You guys are good people in our book. Yeah.
These are our kind of people.
Oh, man. Well, I know we've been chatting for quite a while now. Was there anything that you guys wanted to talk about with the game that we didn't bring up?
Oh, you guys covered it pretty well.
Did you want to cover the wearing a fishbowl?
Sorry, what was that?
Did you want to cover wearing the fishbowl?
Oh, yeah, the fishbowl.
I obviously didn't want you to ask the question because I didn't know the answer.
So working on the game, it's us two coding it, designing it, and then we got my buddy Chris and my buddy Izzy, both from high school. We went to art school together. So they're doing the sprites and the backgrounds. So,
no, that's a horrible time for it to cut out. Oh, my God.
Are we good?
You're good
Yeah,
now.
You're back now.
Okay. So when we were when we sent the design character design to our sprite artist Izzy, she we had originally drawn him with the fishbowl over his head, so he could breathe in space. But when she gave us back the final drawings, it was sitting on top of his head. We're like, well, what's up with that? Why is it sitting on top of his head? And she's like, well, it doesn't make any sense. If it was over his mouth, how would he shoot his eggs?
Because the chicken in space. That makes sense.
Yeah.
The fishbowl, yeah, I'm bored. Wait, it would get in the way of the chicken shooting eggs out of his mouth. That's where I draw the line. Literally, she was the artist. That's
I loved it. I loved it, so we stuck with it.
Perfect. That's beautiful.
That is fantastic.
Oh, little man. Bit of trip.
Yeah, shout out to Chris and Izzy for doing the graphics. Oh, God,
they're kick-ass. They got full-time jobs already. They're over in Vancouver, and they're answering emails at all hours and drawing whatever we ask them to. They're awesome.
That is awesome.
Oh, yeah, man. I would draw things by hand and then send them. Like, we would both draw things by hand and send them off to them, and then they'd get back to us within a week or so and, like, send us, like, you know, 60 frames of that thing moving because we described how it should move. You know, it should move its left arm up, and then its mouth should blink and eyes should open and all these things. And it was pretty cool. I really enjoyed drawing something, sending it away, and coming back with, like, a 60-frame-a-second cartoon drawing of what I had drawn. By stick figure standards into this beautiful thing.
I want to see a stick figure too.
Stick figures are phenomenal, and I think we should have a stick figure mode put in the game later.
I guess I should have done that. At one point, I had thought we would put like an extras menu where, like, you know, play, I don't know, original things that we came up with and show our pictures of the original drawings and things like that, but we never ended up putting it in.
I was actually thinking we could do that in the official club, because there's a whole official club set up for it. So I'm going to be posting concept art and stuff like that to it.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Not enough developers make use of the clubs feature.
Oh, it's really fun. I love spamming people.
This is where I say, what's the club feature?
It's basically just kind of like a developer hub for every game.
Mm-hmm.
So developers could like make posts and it goes out to everybody who has the game, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Uh-oh.
Carnage is dropping bitties, so we gotta...
We have to do a thing.
Dropping bits!
Yeah, my friend George, he recorded himself screaming, dropping bits! For when people drop bits in chat.
So, that makes sense. I get it now.
So we played that. It's nice. It's fun. Oh, man, you guys have been awesome to have on. Whenever you guys have another game in the works, definitely hit us up and come back on and chat.
Well, shit, now we got to make another game just so we can come back on here again.
Yeah, it was good.
You got to be quicker with it, too. You can't do no 8 years on that.
Okay. You mean you guys aren't going to be for sure doing this again in 8 years from now? You're not still going to be doing it? No?
I don't know. I've been doing it for six, so who knows?
It's not crazy. It's not crazy.
I'm only at, what, two? I'm still holding in there.
Okay, we'll make it five, then.
Okay, sounds good. So yeah, 5 years from now.
2027, Lando, 1979.
Oh, man. Well, all right. Guys, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us.
No time. Thank you.
One more time. Give us where the game is. How much is it? Give us all the details.
It's on Xbox, Purple Chicken Spaceman. It's $9.99 US dollars. It's about 12 something for us Canadians. I think that's it. I don't have the exact URL in front of me. I
forgot to say that it's also the best game ever.
Oh, and it is the best game ever. Yes.
I agree. Because of the main theme.
Thank you.
All right, well, you guys have a wonderful night and thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right, take care, guys.
You too.
Thank you.
Oh, man, that was fun.
Oh, I've been holding on to that forever.
Holding that coffin?
Yeah. Whew, okay, I'm good.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we're not done. We still have a lot more show to take care of. A lot of news this week. It's mm-hmm. that time of the month where we got Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus were both announced this week. So yes. May's lineups have been... A car just drove by. I'm sure my microphone picked that up.
I didn't even get a chance to mention earlier that there may be chirping in my background.
And I don't why think is there that? Is any.
I have ducklings.
Ducklings?
Yeah. Not chickens, because they were sold out of chickens when David went to Tractor Supply, but I have four ducklings.
Aww.
So they may be cheeping and chirping back there in the background. If we get really unruly later, I can pick one up and bring it over to the mic and it'll start squawking.
Do it.
Want me to do it? I'll go get a duckling. Hold on. Let's see. I bet I'll wake him up.
Carnage said dumplings.
Duckling time. Oh, yeah, I can hear him.
I can hear him chirping. Really faint, but I could hear it. Oh, yeah, I heard that one there. Hopefully the microphone, like, picks this up when the show's all done and edited. Oh, I heard... Oh. Aww. That sounds so cute. This show is stupid.
Duckling!
Duckling, so cute. I don't know if you heard me, but I said this show is stupid.
Yeah. I didn't have my headphones on, so I couldn't hear. I was like, look, I'm going to beeline over there and get a goddamn duckling.
It's from a funny developer interview of chickens to ducklings live on the show.
David intended to go get chicks, actually, and I was a little disappointed when it come down to doing this interview and I didn't have any chickens. I was like, oh, come on, at least the rooster could crow, but it's late at night and he's up, so he's not crowing.
Lazy bastard. Put him to work.
And I woke up the duckling to bring it over here. I'm a monster.
You're horrible. But now it was hilarious. Now they're going to be peeping the entire show.
Yeah, I should get up and turn the light back off, honestly, so they can go back to sleep.
Well, you do that, and I'll go over some of the news. Games with Gold for May was announced. Xbox One is, for the entire month of May, is getting the game Marooners. And then from May 16th through June 15th is getting the Golf Club 2019. On Xbox 360, from May 1st through the 15th, is getting Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon. And from May 16th through the 31st is Comic Jumper. So it's obviously...
Is that PlayStation lineup?
Huh?
Was that the PlayStation lineup?
No, that was the Games with Gold lineup.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I only heard Jumper at the end, and I was like, what?
No, Comic Jumper is, okay. It's obviously not the greatest lineup that we've had.
Yeah.
A lot of people think it is the worst. Personally, I think the thing that saves this is the Golf Club 2019, because that's still a fairly new game. It's still a $50 game, and I just traded my copy in so that I could get it for free.
I could not care less about Golf Club.
I know most people don't really care much about golf, but yeah. I'm excited about the Golf Club. I was pretty excited that was announced.
I was more excited by Marooners because I liked Marooners, but I already own it. So it was like, well, it doesn't do me any good to be excited about it, but it's a good game, so I wasn't upset about it.
I think Comic Jumper is a solid game. Earth Defense Force, those are always guilty pleasures. I don't think it's as bad as a month as a lot of people are making it out to be, but yeah. I can recognize that, like, Marooners is definitely not a winner of a game for Games with Gold.
No, that's...
It's a $10 indie.
It's a filler. Yeah.
It could be fun, but it's not Games with Gold level.
Yeah. It's easy a gamer score, though.
Is it?
Yeah. Because, everybody signed in gets the achievement regardless of who does it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, overall, what do you think of the month?
It's lackluster. I mean, I'm not jumping for joy there in anything that's, you know, got me screaming from the rooftops, but it's suitable. It's fine. Not every month is going to appeal to every player.
True.
And especially when there's sports games involved, I'm more of the meh. You know.
Yeah, well, we covered the first two Golf Club games on the show. We never got to cover the newest one because I think it's like an official 2K release now. Which we don't get to cover cool shit like that because we suck. But I'm excited that it's free. So
yeah.
I think it's loads better than what PlayStation's getting.
I'll point out that even though I have no intentions of playing Golf Story, I'm gonna download it.
Golf Club. So.
Golf Club. Yeah, see? I don't even know the difference.
That's how much you care about it.
Yep, it's a golf game. You're lucky I didn't... What is it, the PGA? Is that what it's called? I don't know.
It's a
sport with a ball.
You are correct. It is a sport with a ball. I'm proud of you.
I know a thing.
But PlayStation Plus for the month of May, again, they don't get PS3 and Vita games anymore, so what they get on PS4 is it, and they're getting Overcooked, the original one, not the new one, and What Remains of Edith Finch, which, decent games, solid games, but yeah. What Remains of Edith Finch has been given away free how many times? Overcooked has a sequel out with online play. They're both older games. I don't think they have a good month at all.
Yeah. I think as far as games go, they're great games, but they're great games that most people who would want to play them already have.
Yeah.
So.
And Overcooked has a better sequel out.
Yeah. I wouldn't know why in the hell you'd go for the original Overcooked over Overcooked 2.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it either. But speaking of game additions, two games were added to the backward compatibility lineup this week, which excited me. April, we had a single game added through the entire month of April.
Ouch.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden 2. Today, beginning with May, we got Ninja Gaiden 3, Razor's Edge, and Trials Evolution.
Those are big ones.
Yeah, I was pretty disappointed. Trials Evolution, I didn't own.
What?
I didn't own it. I thought I did. I didn't own it, and it's delisted.
Well.
Yeah.
I hope you didn't want it.
Well, the good news is Amazon sells codes for it.
Oh.
So excellent. I dropped $15 on Amazon. I got a code for it, and now I have it installed on my Xbox One.
Worth it.
Carnage is hoping they relist it. It'd be nice, but who knows?
Oh, why is it delisted? I'm assuming it's because of licensing?
I would assume. Hmm. Don't forget, that was when Microsoft was still publishing the game before Ubisoft came in and picked up Red Lynx.
Microsoft published? I didn't know that.
Yeah, the first two Trials games were published by Microsoft.
I legit did not know that.
Yeah, you're learning
I learned a thing today. I am smart.
six games are leaving Game Pass on the 15th this month, which is a bummer. But they're not too big of losses. Xbox One is losing Mega Man Legacy Collection and MotoGP 17. Okay. And then the Xbox 360 is losing Mizsplosion Man, Star Wars The Force Unleashed, Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2, and Comic Jumper, which is joining Games with Gold. So we know why that one's leaving. Mizsplosion Man's been pulled before and it came back, so I'm sure it's might just be a temporary disappearance.
I need to take some time and play that one because I love Splosion Man and I never got a chance to play Mizsplosion Man and I did not realize it was in Game Pass right now.
Yeah.
So I need to get on that shit before it goes away.
Yes, you do.
I love Splosion Man games.
It's not all bad news for Game Pass though, because while they're losing six games, they are gaining nine.
That's an impressive number.
Yes. This week alone, we got Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, and Wargroove, which we just covered, what, like 2 months ago?
Remember when I specifically said about Wargroove 2 that it needed to be in Game Pass?
Here you go.
I wasn't wrong.
There you go. May 7th, we're getting Descenders, that downhill BMX game.
That surprised me.
Yeah, it's exiting game preview and jumping right into Game Pass.
That's fantastic, cool. But it surprised me.
And then the game For the King, which doesn't release until May 10th, but the website said that Game Pass players get to play it 3 days early on the 7th.
Oh, I don't know anything about it except for a couple of stills I've seen, and I'm like, yeah, I'll probably install it.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'll have time to play it, but I'll install it.
Yeah. On May 9th, three games are getting added with Surviving Mars, Tacoma, and Black Desert.
Tacoma is definitely on my list. Black Desert, I'm interested in. And Surviving Mars is fucking fantastic.
I'm kind of disappointed that Black Desert is joining as quickly as it did because I bought it for $10 when it first came out. And if I would have known it was joining Game Pass in a month, I would have just held off.
That's your mistake. And at this point, that's why I'm all like, I don't buy shit, because as soon as I do, it's either Games with Gold or Game Pass.
Oh, well.
And I can wait.
I had my fun with Black Desert, so I'm sure I'll dive back into it.
Hey, at least if you had fun, then you got $10 worth out of it.
Indeed. And then May 16th, Lego Batman 3 and The Surge are joining Game Pass.
I wanted to play The Surge, and I didn't have it. So now I get a chance. Well, I say I get a chance, but I got to find the time to make a chance out of it.
Yeah, true.
But it's there.
True. It'll be there waiting for you to play it if you ever have the time.
Yay. Which I won't, but you know.
Yeah. Some other news that happened this week. Psyonix, the creators of Rocket League, have been bought by Epic Games.
I'm not particularly
what
thrilled about
that. What the hell was that sound?
That's me exhaling through closed lips because I'm trying not to, I don't know, be a massive bitch about the acquisition, but I'm not thrilled about it. And I can't really put my finger on why.
Not many people are thrilled about it. I'm seeing nothing but disappointment from everybody who thinks Epic is just going to ruin Rocket League now.
Well, I have questions about how it's going to affect crossplay more than anything, because it's being removed from Steam at the end of this year.
Well, Epic has gone on record as saying that as of now, there's no plans to remove it from Steam. Epic's come out and said that.
Okay.
I don't know how true it's going to be.
Statement. The original statement was it's being removed from Steam when it goes on
the Epic Game Store.
But that it would still be supported. But I didn't know how. I mean, is Epic going to let cross play with Steam?
I think all the crossplay, it's just PC. I don't think that whether you get it on Epic or Steam, I don't think it matters. It's just the PC version of the game.
I don't know that though. You know,
I don't know that either. But I'm guessing that's how it works, that it's just the PC version of the game. But yeah, I don't know. There's so much more that we have to find out and so little information.
And also, what are they going to, like, are they going to start fucking up the rocket passes and stuff and making them? They already did with the last rocket pass, make it a little more Fortnite-ish, and I'm not amused with it.
Why? What did they do?
They added in the challenges and stuff, and so you can do the challenges to rank up in the rocket pass faster.
Mm.
And I'm just like, I just far more enjoy just playing the game and getting my XP and getting the fuck out. And now it's like, oh no, say wow. And so then you're in chat and you like have people spamming wow and what a save even more than usual because they're trying to get those stupid ass challenges. And it's like, no, I hate you. What's the meme? Thanks. I hate it.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
I'm not impressed. Suda says, insert crying Jordan meme. That's really kind of how we feel. We're just like, I'll be fucking with my Rocket League, man.
I like that we just got a follow from someone named Mike Ox Small. Yeah, think about that one for a second.
I mean, honesty is the best policy.
Hey, whatever makes him happy. If you want to come out and be proud of what you got, you know, more power to you.
Some people really prefer tiny weenies. The itty bitty peeny committee. I don't know. That didn't rhyme the way it was supposed to, but.
It's not the size of the boat. It's the motion of the ocean.
Yeah, but good luck getting to England in a rowboat.
Oh, my God. Anyway, other news. Paramount released a trailer for the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, and it has taken the internet by storm.
Thanks, we hate it.
Can that be
the episode title? Where we're at today.
I don't think I've seen a single person happy with the design of Sonic in the movie. After a few days of uproar, the director, Jeff Fowler, tweeted out, "The message is loud and clear. You aren't happy with the design and you want changes. It's going to happen." So.
I showed the trailer to Number One. Number One has a fond affliction to Sonic games. She's played them a lot. My sister gave her a DS when she was super tiny and gave her a Sonic game. And like, that was her intro into gaming. Was just playing Sonic all the fucking time. So Sonic is near and dear to this child. And I said something about it to Dee about the movie. She's like, wait, they made a Sonic movie? And I'm like, oh, kid. Stop eavesdropping on me.
You don't want to know.
And so she's like, can I see the trailer? And so I looked it up. And she's standing here beside me. And you gotta imagine, if you haven't seen Number One, you have to imagine she's tall and she's lanky. And she's standing there wearing shit kicker boots that make her even taller. And she's in her shit kickers and her little black clothes because she's a closet emo. And she's standing there with her arms crossed watching this trailer. And she's so excited to start off with. And just her face drops with every frame.
Just and crying. Why? It
goes off. The trailer ends and she looks at me and she goes, Mama, why did they mess up my childhood? Yes, child, this is what adulthood is like.
You are growing up so fast. That trailer looked so fucking bad.
Have you seen the theories that Sonic is basically like a sequel to Hop?
No.
Because it's the same dude that was in Hop. I can't remember his name, but the human actor. Like, they had the scene of the screenshot from the trailer of the actor and Sonic in the car talking. And then, like, right next to it, they had a still from Hop of the same dude in a car talking to the Easter Bunny.
Oh, boy.
And it's just, like, the similarities in those scenes. too fucking much.
No.
And it's funny. So people are like, what if it's really that Sonic is a sequel to Hop?
Maybe. You never
know. At this point, we need anything to make us feel a little better about this shit.
Yeah, because what we've gotten so far, it does not look good.
Oh.
It looks pretty abysmal. And No Time for Games saying that he feels Dr. Eggman or Dr. Robotnik should be played by a round guy, too, not some lanky, goofy actor like Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I can get why they would want Carrey for the comedic timing and his, you know, exaggerated facial expressions and stuff, but it's not right.
I think if anything is going to save that movie, it's going to be Jim Carrey. It comes down to his performance and how much he cares about the movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe the redesign will get people a bit more excited.
No. I like the hashtag, though. It was gotta fix fast.
Gotta fix fast.
Like, they know they fucked up.
Oh, Jesus.
Good luck to them. They gonna need it.
They are. But 9.8 million switchovers so far have signed up for the Nintendo Online service. So it looks like for as much as people are shitting on the quality of their offering, a lot of people are still picking it up. Nearly 10 million people. I'm one of them. I guess the $20 price tag helps.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a price tag situation.
Yeah. I mean, Tetris is an awesome bonus, so I'm excited about that. And then the NES Online games, you know, it's okay. It's again, it's $20, so whatever.
It's okay. $20 for a whole year.
Yeah, for a full year. So Mortal Kombat 11's latest patch has doubled and in some cases even tripled the rewards earned in game, making it feel much less of a grind to unlock gear. And I think they did a good job. I think it's a good start. They also gave out a community gift to people of like 500,000 coins, 1,000 time crystals, 500 hearts, just to make up for how shitty the game launched. But it looks like they're listening to fans and trying to make it right, which is good.
Yeah, that was definitely necessary. People were pissed.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, I kind of just expect Mortal Kombat to be a grindy shit show and know going into it that I've paid $60 for a game I'll never beat. But hey, if they're trying to, you know, ease the burden a little, then so be it.
Yeah.
I'm always up for making it easier.
Yeah. Pussy crybaby mode. But last bit of news I have is that a supposed teaser trailer leaked out today for a supposed Left 4 Dead 3. Did you see this?
I did.
What do you think?
I have a thought.
Let's hear it.
Oh, first off, I didn't see what YouTube channel had posted. Like, was it something specific that would indicate it was from Valve?
No, it wasn't. It didn't even have like a proper title. It was just letters and numbers for the title.
Okay. Because I'm wondering, instead of Left 4 Dead 3, if maybe we had a leak of Back 4 Blood. Have you heard about Back 4 Blood?
Is that the new one from the...
That's the one from the Left 4 Dead devs. And I say this because any mention of it before has shown the zombie hands with 4 held up instead of 3. And in the trailer, the zombie hand that is up at the end is not holding up 3, although the thumb kind of, or the pinky kind of falls down toward the end. It's definitely 4.
Well, yeah, and I'm wondering if maybe it's not. It holds the 4 up. That's what the Left 4 Dead has always been. It's been a hand missing the thumb, which is what the hand was. And then at the very end, the pinky went down to show a 3.
But it doesn't fall all the way down. It's just kind of like...
It's a teaser.
Yeah, but...
And we don't even know if it's real.
I would be more inclined still to say it's somebody's leaked shit from Back 4 Blood. We are never going to get Left 4 Dead 3. Okay? Valve doesn't do threes. Ever. Fucking never.
Maybe this is the year.
That's what everybody says about Half-Life every fucking year. Isn't that what it was called? You ain't never getting that either.
Yeah, but we've never gotten what appeared to be a leaked trailer for Half-Life 3.
We ain't get a leaked trailer for Left 4 Dead either. Either somebody has pieced together some shit, which they love to do, or somebody involved with Back 4 Blood has mocked this up and it's gotten squeaked out somewhere.
No, I really don't think it has anything to do with Back 4 Blood, just because of the hand at the end.
I will fight you.
Well, then you can fight me, but I don't think it has anything to do with Back 4 Blood. If this is a real teaser trailer, I think it is for Left 4 Dead 3, but that just comes down to whether or not it's actually real. It could just be a fan project.
Yeah. I was actually trying to, like, pause through the frames and think about horror movies I'd seen and try to place any of the scenes. And the only thing other than, you know, the hand itself throwing me off is that there's a box of life cereal. And that seems like an incredibly weird thing to license for a zombie game.
Yeah, I don't know.
But there it sat in plain view, and it's just like, that has to be like from a movie scene or something. I watch a lot of zombie shit. I will figure it out eventually. If it's a scene from something, I will be laying in my bed 3 weeks from now, 4 a.m. on a prednisone high, and be like, oh my fucking God, I know what that's from.
On a prednisone high. Oh my God.
It's gonna happen.
And anyway, then I'll forget,
not tell you what it was when I wake up the next day.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. But that's the news I had. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about, or are you ready to?
I mean, we're going long, so I might as well go ahead and bring this shit up anyway.
Sure, might as well. Fuck it.
Wait, where did my link go? Oh, there it goes. I found it. Okay.
Hooray.
I had all my notes written down and then this link, and then I lost the link. There was a really interesting survey done in the UK from the Must Play May campaign. Now, to be fair, this was a small gathering. It was only 2,000 adults who they questioned, but they were questioning and doing a survey on how many of these adults over varied age groups play games. Apparently, excuse me, I got choked there. apparently, 42% of the people they surveyed aged 55 to 64, and another 27% of the over 65 group still enjoy playing video games.
That's cool.
That is an impressively large number for those age groups.
Hey, more power to them.
But what I thought was particularly interesting, a couple of things are particularly interesting. The first one is that 40% of those that still play games in that age group were playing strategy games to keep their brains active.
Oh, that's smart.
Another 20% were playing multiplayer games because they wanted to be like, you know, playing with their grandkids.
Yeah.
Try to force that bonding.
Gonna play Fortnite with Billy.
Good luck, Grandpa.
Billy, I'm gonna dab on your ass.
The other thing that was particularly interesting was that of the groups that were in the over 55, I think it was, 65% of the gamers were men. Or not 65, 60, I'm sorry. And the other 40 were women.
That's a lot of women gamers.
That's a lot of women gamers. That's a lot of elderly women gamers. We've gotten to a point where we kind of accept that there's a larger collection of female gamers among the 30 to 40 and below group.
Yeah.
But to see that many in the upper, the higher ups for the age groups was really impressive. And even still, you know, there's a lot of stereotypes that gamers are reclusive and a small set of the population, but 85% of the under 35 group responded they played games. 85%.
That's a lot.
That is a lot of fucking people. And if you could say that with any kind of certainty, certainty. it's like how I fucked up saying indubitably earlier. We're not going to talk about that. But 85% of the under 35s and 75% of the 35 to 44 year olds were still gaming. That's an incredible number. And that shows that gamers are not just, you know, the reclusive neckbeards sitting in their mom's basement. Like, people want to stereotype.
I mean, we are, but
I'm not. I don't have a neckbeard. I shave.
I've got a big bushy beard that's on my neck, but it's also on my face as well. So it's not a neckbeard. It's just a beard.
It's only a neckbeard if, like, it's like an inverted goatee. Yeah. That's a neckbeard. But we're not a small subset, and I thought it was really impressive. Then, yeah, gamers, nerds rule the world.
Nice.
Yeah. Next.
What else you got?
I don't have anything else. I had some other stuff, and then I lost my notes.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
I cleaned off my desk, and I clearly threw away the paper that I had wrote shit on.
Oh, no, it's no time for game. Just dropped 500 biddies. You know what that means.
That means a thing.
Dropping bits! All over your fucking face! Wet pancakes!
Oh, I love it.
That got love the it. Long one.
Wet pancakes. Dropping bits. George is so good. He is so goddamn good.
It's true.
Thanks again for the biddies, no time. Thanks again, Carnage. He dropped some earlier on during the chat. Awesome Prime dropped 3 or 4 biddies, something like that.
Don't thank Carnage anymore.
Well, I have to. He dropped biddies.
No, you don't.
It's a legal requirement. I have to thank people.
I didn't sign shit.
He's not in the chat right now, so that's the only reason I'm doing it. Can't go to his head right now. Now my cat wants attention.
My ducks want attention.
Coltrane is on my lap right now. I wonder if she'll talk if I pick her up.
Probably not like a duck. Yay! Kitty! Wow!
Anyway, are you ready to do some reviews?
Do some motherfucking reviews.
All right, then. First game to talk about tonight is called SNK 40th Anniversary Collection, developed by Digital Eclipse, published by Other Ocean. Released May 3rd on Xbox One for $39.99. 2018 marked the 40th anniversary of legendary studio SNK. To celebrate the extraordinary milestone, a variety of classic arcade games from SNK's Golden Age are coming back together in one anthology on Xbox One. SNK 40th Anniversary Collection is packed full of retro games and a treasure trove of features. Cole, tell us about this one.
So this is a lot of games in a game that is riding the nostalgia train. You know, we've seen a lot of classic games remade. You know, Neo Geo has just gone ham the last couple of years. Sega Classics. Yeah,
we have like 100 of the Neo Geo Arcade Archives games out.
The Mega Man Legacy games, like classic games and retro games, have found their foothold again with you know, a whole new generation of gamers.
And love it. I love it, love it, love it.
This is no exception. However, there's something a little special to the SNK collection. The SNK, for those who are too goddamn young to remember, was an arcade cabinet that came out in the late 70s. And if you excuse me, I need to get my cane again. but it came out in the late 70s, and it was really just one of the first hardcore arcade cabinets of its type. And you just go throw your money at it and play a game all day long, get fucking nowhere, go home, be mad about it, and do it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
just like the golden days of arcades.
Yeah. And I mean, this was kind of just where it got its start. These bad boys were out before Neo Geos and like people talk about, oh, the classic Nintendo and Atari, but no, SNK, man. There was actually one of these, in my kid apparently didn't take the memo that she was supposed to stay in the room. Here, take that and go. I'm recording. You're supposed to stay in there and be quiet. Just go strolling by. Hi. No.
It's like you have a routine already. Anyway, SNK, this collection is before Neo Geo. Like, yes, this is early SNK.
This is the serious stuff. One of the games, Osmo Wars, originally released in 1979.
Damn.
It was one of the first games for the console, and, well, for the arcade system console, I guess you would call it. And this collection actually spans from 1979 to 1990. That's 11 years of retro games. If I'm not mistaken, there were 26 games in the collection as a whole.
That's what I counted, and it's not just 26 games. Some of them have, like, American version compared to Japanese version.
Right.
Some of them have arcade version and versus home console version.
Yeah.
It is nuts the amount of games that are in this package when you
look at everything. As impressive as the collection of games itself is, I think one thing that's important to mention is that this is not just a collection of games. There's an actual museum section to this, and you can go in there and there are full-fledged soundtracks for all of these games. There's the game manuals, promotional videos, promotional art. Just, it's incredible what all they've packed in here to really give you a full-fledged view of these retro games, as opposed to just, oh, here's an emulator that plays a 40-year-old game.
Yeah.
It's like, no, let us tell you about the history of it. Here's who made it. Here's how it was made. These are games from an era when games were almost entirely made by one person or two people tops. And we talk about games now with indie games and we're like, oh, it's so impressive. It was made by one person or two people or a small group. And that's cool. And then you realize that's how games got started.
Yeah.
That's how they were done originally. And we tend to forget when we're looking at retro games what a feat it was to make a game like that at that time.
Yeah.
And so it's really neat to get to sit down and go through the museum and look at all the information and hear the original soundtracks and realize that, you know, these they're a little funny to play now. and there's a little bit of a meme aspect to it where you're like, yeah. Some of these are even older than my old ass. So, but it's still, when you really stop and you look at everything as a package, you're like, holy shit, this is what everything we have today was built on. And that is just really fucking impressive. As far as actually playing the games go, there's not a lot that's been changed as far as like going in and playing it. It's still the classic retro game. And so it's got its, you know, quirks, and some of them are really fucking hard because they were meant to take your quarters.
Oh yeah.
They're not apologetic about it. However, they did go in and add save systems and rewind, so you can actually, like, you know, hit checkpoints and stuff. You're not gonna have to sit down and beat Athena all in one fell swoop or
Crystallis.
Or Crystallis, even though they're not particularly long in comparison to like shit we play now, but you don't have to do it in one fell swoop, and you're not going to either.
No,
there's only, I think only 3 or 4 achievements even have an unlock percentage at this point. Most of them are still sitting on 0%, and those are the ones that are like for beating X game or beating X game in arcade mode, or so they're not You're not picking this up because you want some quick gamer score like a Neo Geo.
Yeah, this is something.
Go ahead.
I got to admit, I am kind of disappointed with the achievements of the game. There's only 14 mm-hmm. achievements in the game, and it's one for each of the original 14 games that was in the SNK 40th Anniversary Collection.
Yeah.
When it first launched on Switch and on PlayStation, or at least on when it first launched on Switch.
I know it's on Switch, yeah.
It only had 14 games, and then they released 12 more as free DLC. We got the full collection. I just wish they would have included achievements for those additional games.
Yeah, it was odd, because I remember looking at it, and I was like, oh, there's only 14 achievements. And then I started counting through the games. I was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Where did all these extras come from?
It seems like they just took the trophy list from the PlayStation version and
imported it. And we get that a lot. But I guess beggars can't be choosers, because at least we got it.
I'm fucking thrilled that we got this. Carnage mentioned it in chat on the last episode, the SNK 40th Anniversary mm-hmm. collection got an achievement list on True Achievements, and I was going crazy on the last episode. I was so excited.
And it was worth it. I think it's fun enough to have these classic games and to go back and revisit them, especially for a generation who didn't have the ability to play something like this on an actual arcade machine. But for me, the bigger aspect of it is the museum and all information. Like, I'm such a nerd. And when it comes to video, I like retro games, but I struggle with them. And I did fucking awful playing these games. I really did. Like, some of the high scores, it's like, oh, the lowest entry to get on the leaderboard is like 20,000. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm over here with my 3,000. But I tried.
And then you're going to run into the hurdle that a lot of these games are arcade games. So you're going to uh-huh. deal with that arcade difficulty. A lot of the games do have like difficulty settings. You could adjust the number of lives you have, but it's not as in depth as the arcade archives, where you're able to just set it to like unlimited lives, or you could have infinite credits. Like, you only have so many credits to play these games in one go. Easy. Yeah.
That's so what me and Athena were going around and around, because I was like, I got this. I'm getting somewhere. Blah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, thankfully the rewind is in there, so you could kind of mm-hmm. cheese games. If you get hit in a certain section, you get kind of juggled around, you could just rewind it and avoid that. But it's still going to push your skills to the limits on some of these games. I played Alpha Mission trying to beat the final boss, and I spent 20 minutes just rewinding and moving and rewinding and moving and rewinding, like trying to get these pixel perfect movements that normally you would never be able to do, and I mm-hmm. still couldn't do it. It was just that brutally difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even make it far enough to try to do that. I'm just like, look at me blowing things up. Yay, I'm the best. Let's go look at the promotional art.
Yay. The museum is easily the best part of this game.
I think so.
The 26 games included, there's some really, really good games in there. I'm a big fan of Crystalis, Prisoners of War. Vanguard is a personal favorite of mine. But the museum,
I played a lot of Paddle Mania.
Yeah.
Because it's easy and it's still hard.
Yeah, but I think this collection is worth it just for the museum alone. To go in there, to read up on some of these games, to find out, like, Vanguard was one of the first games to have a continue system in place. Mm-hmm. And it had to just, like, explain it in detail.
Oh, what was the one?
On the screen.
There was one that was the first game to have lyrics in the soundtrack. Oh, I don't
remember which one.
Oh, damn it. I don't either. But it's so cool. Just the little tidbits and to play the games that broke the mold.
It's good stuff. It is a good package. So I'm going to ask you, $40, what do you think of SNK 40th Anniversary Collection?
I think it's definitely niche, especially at the price point. It's worth it, and I'm going to give it a buy it, but if you are not good at these old school games and you're not particularly interested in the history and everything that would be in the museum, maybe then it's a little tougher sell.
Yeah.
But for the hardcore retro nerds, or anybody that's got any kind of interest or fascination in retro gaming, this is a must have.
I agree, especially the $40 might seem kind of steep when you compare it to some of the other collections that are out there for like $15 mm-hmm. or $20, but you are more than worth or more than getting your money's worth out of this collection between the number of games, the variety of games, the variations of the games that are there, the arcade, the museum, the soundtracks, the promotional materials. It is just packed full of content, and you can waste hours of your life not even playing games
yeah.
in this collection.
And still enjoy it.
Yeah. So I definitely give it a buy. I think this is a retro collector's wet dream, and massive thanks to Other Ocean for actually bringing this to mm-hmm. Xbox, because I didn't think it was coming.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's funny to see the copyright Nintendo on these games, and you're like, yeah, but I'm on Xbox.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah.
Next game to talk about is called Eternity, The Last Unicorn, developed by Void Studios, published by 1C Entertainment, released April 16th on Xbox One for $19.99, also available on PC and PS4. The unicorns have disappeared and elven immortality is waning fast. Eternity, The Last Unicorn is an action-based RPG built around Norse mythology where the player is on a quest to free the last unicorn from a dangerous curse. Travel through mesmerizing locations, meet fantasy characters, and fight to save elven immortality. Cole, tell us about Eternity.
So there are not enough games on Xbox with unicorns in them. So I have high hopes for this one. Unfortunately, the unicorn curse is real and doesn't just affect the elves. And I'm sad about this. And I'm sad that this is where we're starting off at right here.
Oh, boy.
So you play as an elf named Orin. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I don't know. The game doesn't actually pronounce the name. So that's the best we're going for right there. Orin is one of those reluctant chosen one kind of protagonists. She doesn't want to be doing this shit, but she has to. It's up to her to try to find a way to remove the curse that is affecting the last unicorn. The unicorns were a gift. There were four of them initially. They were stolen, and without the unicorns, the elves are no longer immortal. The game has an immense amount of Viking and Nordic lore kind of woven into it, and it's incredibly pretty to go along with all that really pretty lore, especially the unicorn. When you get to see it, it's just like, oh! but unfortunately, that's kind of where the good stuff ends.
Oh, man.
For some unusual reason, the developers of this game have gone that PS1 era fixed camera approach, like old school Resident Evil style. And I can't yeah. fathom why. They've gone through all this effort to create this beautiful world, and then you're just completely limited at how you look at it.
Yeah.
It's just very one-sided. To make matters worse, there's a lot of areas where the camera placement is kind of just inexplicably weird. Like, it'll be super low to the ground in one scene, and it'll cut, and it'll be somewhere off. There's no justification for why the camera is where it is. And so when you're going from one area to the next, it can be just a shock as the camera just flops around all over to these weird places. And it's disappointing. It's not the type of camera model that I prefer, and I don't understand why they would go this route. To some extent, from what I could find, there were places where the developers were talking about the game and talking about how they were inspired by Dark Souls and those classic games like that and wanted it to be difficult. I don't see the resemblance, though. It's not even that the game is hard like Dark Souls. It's just that it's like they took the bad aspects of games like that instead of the good ones and tried to call it nostalgia. And it's incredibly disappointing. Like, I wanted to love this. I'm a total nerd, and I was geeking out over, you know, elven storylines, and there's parts where you get to play as a Viking dude, and you got a strong female character for the main protagonist. And then it just, like, takes all that and goes, nah, that part doesn't matter.
Oh, man.
And I was so sad. Like, just playing through this. The combat controls are super clunky, and they're made worse by the camera just not being able to move it at all. You're able to lock on to the enemies when you're in combat, but it's so clunky as to whether or not it actually works that I gave up even trying to use the lock on, and I just let them swarm me and spam the button to attack.
Oh, geez.
And hope for the best. If it worked, it worked. If it didn't, well, there's a checkpoint. It was the best I could hope for. There are crafting elements in this game, and you will spend a lot of time going back and forth through the world in order to find the elements, the items that you need for crafting. You can only craft in certain areas, and you never specifically know what items you need while you're out. So there's just a lot of forced back and forth. Mm-hmm. To try to find what you need and put it together and actually make anything. And when you're forced to go back and forth through the different areas, the enemies will respawn when you go back to an area, and they respawn in the exact same place, and they do the exact same thing every single time. So there's no real shakeup, and it just gets monotonous, and it's kind of compounded by the fact that the combat is bad. I really wanted to like this.
Yeah, it looked really cool in screenshots. I had high hopes for this one.
There was so much potential, and I was just like, man, unicorns, elves, female, it's pretty, I got this.
Action RPG.
Yeah, and I'm playing it, and I'm like, why you do this, though? It's just unfortunate.
No, I'm worried to ask, but $20 on it, what do you say?
Deny it. I'm sorry. And I'm sad about it, I really am. But it's just too much.
Hey, unfortunately they can't all be winners. We have to have bad ones to get good ones.
It's been a while since I've had to throw out a legit deny it and just
I might keep an eye on a sale for this one. What do you think they could do to fix this game?
That fucking camera. And I know that there are plenty of people that wouldn't be bothered by the camera, but I am. And it was just a big shutdown. You're trying to maneuver around and look for these crafting items and deal with the clunky combat. Fine, you can deal with that. When they don't bother trying to lock onto them, just spam the next or whatever to get out of there, you can deal with that. We play a lot of games that have questionable combat, and I deal with it.
Yeah.
But when you're locked in and you can't even maneuver things around to get a better view, you can't see what you're trying. If you're hunting for necessary items in the world and you've got to go back and forth a million and one times to find it, at least let me be able to adjust what I'm looking at to find things.
Yeah, that makes sense. If it's
stuck in one spot and then the item is just like barely peeking out from behind a bush or something, it's like, come on. I gave you $20. Don't hate me this much.
What do you think a good price would be for this game if it's on a sale?
On sale, maybe $12, $13.
All right, just for my own personal knowledge, because when it does drop in a sale, I'll probably pick it up and give it a shot anyway.
I would say $15 is probably still too much. That depends on how much you're able to tolerate the actual gameplay of it.
True.
Like, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there who are like, well, she's just a whiny bitch. And that's fine. I am. And I own it. But I just think most players are probably going to be in the same camp I am and be like, I cannot deal with this. This is frustrating. It's just a disappointment to not be able to explore and enjoy the game and get the most out of it when you're locked down to it's already tough enough that it's so linear, but then you really are just in a box and you can't explore this beautiful world with all this potential.
Yeah. Oh, well, next game to talk about is called Black Paradox, developed by Fantastico Studio, published by Digirati, released April 1st on PS4, the 2nd on Steam, the 3rd on Xbox and Switch for $14.99. Fast-paced, roguelike shoot-em-up game with an amazing pixel art and synthwave soundtrack. Play as Black Paradox, a fierce bounty hunter, and defeat the biggest criminal organization in space, the Hellraisers, and its 7 leaders. Cole, tell us about Black Paradox.
So I just want this game to be the shining beacon that I don't always bitch that games that are hard aren't worth time. Because this game is fucking hard. There's literally only 7 levels, and I made it through 3, and I was so tickled I almost peed my pants. I would like to tell you what the other 4 are, but I probably never will. And I'm okay with it because I'm still going to load that motherfucker up and play it some more this weekend.
Nice.
This is one of those where even though it's hard, every time you make it a little further, you feel so victorious. Just a little further, just one more level, just one more boss. And then you're just like, yeah, fuck everything. I don't care if I die as soon as this next level starts. And you will. You'll die as soon as the next level starts. And it's fine. So to give you a little more of a description of what it actually is, though, and why that's okay, this is a 2D side-scrolling roguelite shmup. And you are literally driving a motherfucking DeLorean in space.
Yes.
And you are shooting the shit out of everything with the motherfucking DeLorean in space.
Yes.
It's so good. Everything has this pixelated art style. And it's funny because I've gotten to a point where I'm like, oh boy, another pixel art game. I know that pixel art's hard to do. I know it's a real skill. But man, sometimes it's just all we get. Yeah. And after you play like 942 pixel art games, you're like, oh, I would just go for 3D. And then you play the Eternity Last Unicorn, and you're like, never mind, take me back. That was rude, and I apologize, but it's how I felt this week.
That is terrible.
It's how I felt this week. However, back to that motherfucking DeLorean. Everything's got that 1980s cyberpunk aesthetic where it's like neon pink and turquoise, and you're like, fuck yeah, everything so good. So DeLorean flying through space, it's a shmup, so of course there's bullet hell and there's all kinds of funky cyberpunky looking ships coming from the right side. Sometimes they come from the left side just to fuck you.
Nice.
Keep you on your toes. It is incredibly fast paced, and you really do just want to get 5 or 10 seconds more each time you play. Because it's a roguelite, once you die, that's it. Fuck you. You go back to that first level and you do it all over again. Now, there are some permanent things that will hang around because it is a roguelite, so it doesn't entirely hate you.
Yeah.
So you do earn money with the more ships that you take out. And you can use those to upgrade your DeLorean with permanent upgrades that will hang around from level to level. It's also run to run. Thank goodness. When you start, you only have 2 upgrade slots to start with. So, and most of the items, the way that it handles the power-ups, the permanent ones, are 2 are available to you in the shop at a time. You may or may not be able to afford them. If not, fuck you. You just don't get one. You can cough up $1,000, press Y, and re-roll those 2, and maybe get something you can afford. Maybe.
Or something you want.
Or something you want. Whether or not it's something you want is kind of, if you could, everything, the power-ups have different levels to them. So sometimes they're more worth their while than others. Like, if you only got 1,000 and you want to buy the power up that gives you vampirism, for example, than where you regain a little health when you get a kill. That's all well and good, but it may be a level one, and so the amount of health that you get is going to be minuscule. Whereas if you buy that same upgrade, but it's a level five, getting those kills give you more of your health back. And so it's more worth your money to save up and try to get a higher leveled one. However, that means conceding that you're just going to be playing the first level 1,500 times and only get through half of it before you get fucked up because you don't have any kind of upgrades to help you get going any further.
Yeah.
So it's a balancing act of, am I going to invest now to get a little further off the jump, or am I just going to keep grinding out until I can afford something better and really make a run for it?
Now, what happens if you have a level one of an item and then buy a level three of an item?
So you can actually have more than one of the same item equipped later on, and they will stack.
Oh, cool.
So if you have a level one and you buy a level five, you can put that level five on and then the level one goes into your storage. As you progress, you can save up your money and unlock additional equipment slots. And so then you can go back later and say you've got four slots instead of two and you want to put that level one back into play. So you'll have the level five and the level one and stacks their effect.
All right.
Yeah, so it wouldn't make a huge difference, but say if you had two level fives, then that's going to make a bigger difference.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just a matter of the more that you unlock and the more you're able to upgrade your DeLorean, the further you're going to get and the more damage you're going to do to make those worth their while. But you do want to spend your money wisely. You don't just want to... I got unruly and I bought a whole bunch of unlock slots and then I was like, oh, I don't have anything to put in these.
Proud you know, of you.
Be a little reasonable. And the second unlock slot is like, I think it's 25,000 between there, 20 to 25,000.
Damn.
And that takes a lot to get. I went to all the way to World 3, maybe two or three times just to get that much.
Damn.
So, and I still haven't got past World 3. That third boss is an asshole. it is a shmup. So obviously there are additional power-ups that will drop throughout the level. These are gun upgrades. You start off with just like a typical gun where you hold the button and it shoots and you just go up and down and hope you hit shit.
Yeah.
Typical shmup style. But then there are different gun types that will drop for you throughout the game as power-ups. Some of them are more worth their while than others. The shotgun is fairly decent. It will do a small burst, but you've got to be relatively close and you may get fucked up for that. Because that's how shmups roll.
Nice.
Don't get close to anything. Whereas the boomerang blades are absolutely fantastic. And you shoot them and they bounce from side to side. And keep going all over the place and taking out everything they touch.
Oh, nice.
So they're so good. there's a laser. It's got an incredibly slow rate of fire. But if you've got a row of things coming at you, whack it with that laser and everything
is gone.
Yeah, everything is fucking gone. So there's definitely benefits. You can have two guns at a time, too. So if you want to keep that laser and hold on to it as this is going to knock the fuck up out of a boss, put it in your secondary and let it sit there and use, you know, the regular gun or the swarm was one of my favorites. And I would break my neck to get the swarm. I don't care what's happening to me. I'm getting that gun. So there was a really cool corrosive bullet one. It's a corrosive shot. So it would splatter from whatever you hit and hit others around it. So if you're in an area where there's a lot of grouped attacks coming at you, oh, it was so good.
Nice.
It is incredibly difficult. I keep saying that, but this is one of those where it doesn't feel unfair.
That's good.
Yeah, because there are so many different power-ups and ways that you can modify the game to your playstyle that it makes it easier, even if you're not knocking out all seven of the bosses at once. I will say, and even though I say there's seven bosses and seven levels, and that's it, it's not entirely true, because there are the Black Paradox. Like, there's black holes that will come up. This sounds so weird to say out loud. But after you defeat a boss, it will give you the option of two upgrades. Sometimes, however, one of your upgrades gets sucked into a black hole. And if you follow it, then you're taking to bounty hunter levels. I cannot beat these things. I can't even beat one of these things. I can't even get close to beating one of these things. I hit those motherfuckers like two times and then I'm dead and I have to restart the whole fucking shebang over.
Oh man.
I have learned that I'm going to avoid those until forever. But at least it adds an extra element if you're really unruly and already super overpowered. Yeah. I don't know how anybody would get to that point, but if you do,
in due time, enough upgrades and you're ready to take on the world, right?
I mean, in about 14 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So $15 on Black Paradox. What do you think?
I give it a buy it easily, and I will even go out of my way and spoiler alert, but this was my game of the week. And I didn't expect it. I did not expect that at all.
No, my pick of the week was SNK, but you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, every other thing I was playing, I was like, I got to get through this so that I can go play some more Black Paradox.
Nice. I'm going to have to fire this one up and give it a go.
Yeah, it's good.
Cool. Well, we got one final game to talk about tonight. That is called Unknown Fate, developed and published by Marslit Games, released April 25th on the Xbox One for $14.49. Weird price, but whatever. Travel in incredible world, solving puzzles and collecting Richard's lost memories to uncover the hidden truth. Will you be able to find out who you really are? Cole, tell us about it.
I have no fucking idea who I really am. However, I will say that I thought this was just an incredibly gorgeous game. I love surreal art. And this game just does it beautifully. There's so much quirk and everything that happens, you just want to stare at it and be like, I don't know why that spider has a light bulb for a butt, but I'm not mad at it. And I'm just going to sit and look at it. It's gorgeous. The game does feel like it's more of a narrative walk exploration. There are puzzles involved, and there is even some combat. The combat, unfortunately, feels a little more like it's just kind of shoehorned in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the puzzles are fantastic. They're not anything overwhelmingly difficult, because the game wants you to experience it, which I am fully behind. I support that. Anytime you've got a game where the narrative is the most important part, I don't understand locking it away behind super difficult puzzles. Yeah. So anything that makes it more readily accessible to get that actual narrative out is ideal. This is from a first person perspective. My cat is tearing up paper over there on the other side of my desk.
Nice. Kitty.
This
a lot
is
of animals on this show.
Yes, this is a pet heavy show. This is a first person perspective, and there is a little element. I feel like I'm giving away spoilers, although it's literally the first couple minutes of the game. There's a shooter element to it, because you do pick up an artifact that you'll need to use to solve puzzles, which effectively lets you shoot light. Had a lot of trouble, even though I adjusted the camera sensitivity and everything, there wasn't anything for adjusting the aim sensitivity. So I had a tough time aiming the actual light and getting it to shoot where I wanted it to. So thank goodness the puzzles weren't timed in any kind of way, or like I couldn't get through it, because you would have to aim at targets and hit them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only really a major issue with trying to deal with the monsters that would come out occasionally. And even then you had a secondary that let you stun them. So you could just stun them and then hope you hit them. And it would work out eventually. And if you died, there wasn't any kind of like major issue for restarting. The checkpoints were incredibly forgiving. So you would be right back where you were without too much hassle. Because again, this is a game that wants you to get to experience it. It wants you to discover its secrets. But it would be nice if the shooting your artifact was a little more precise. Because sometimes you would shoot and it would like hit way low and you're going, no, I definitely had that in the center. I play a lot of shooters and I've got that shit on lock.
Yeah.
And so I was just disappointed couldn't get it to aim quite like it should. But it was still manageable. The other issue that I had with the game is that there is actually voice acting and everything. And the subtitles are permanently turned on. You can't even turn them off. There's no option to turn them off in the menu, which isn't the problem. The problem is that you can't adjust the music and the sound effect audio, and it overpowers the voice acting. And so if it weren't for the subtitles, there were times where I'd be like, I have no fucking clue what would be going on if I couldn't read it. Because it's overpowered. So they really do need to go in and add some kind of slider for the music and sound effects. I was surprised that was not there.
Yeah, nothing in the options? That's usually like...
No, nothing at all. And I went all over the place. And I even tried like going from the main menu and from the pause menu inside the game. No slider for the music or sound effects. I was like, well, okay, then it hates me. I did mention that there was a sensitivity and I was able to adjust that. You can't adjust the sensitivity from the main menu slider, though. It has to be from while you're inside the game and paused.
Weird.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, there's a couple extra options that are not there if you're on the menu. And so I was hoping for the music and it was not there. That said, though, I had an absolute blast with the game. The puzzles were intuitive. They were easy enough. The story was really interesting and kept me tied in. The character design, though, and the world design are just absolutely where it had me at.
Yeah, I saw some screenshots of the game, and it looks trippy as hell.
I love that kind of... That's the kind of art that I do. And so I love seeing that shit in games. I'm like, ooh, I want to touch it. Don't touch the spider with the light bulb, but don't do that.
Okay, I won't. But $14.49 on this one, what do you say?
I do give it a buy it. I wish that the shooting was a little smoothed out. It could stand with a little polish and some extra options in the menu. But other than that, this was really cool.
Cool. Sounds like overall a pretty solid week aside from Eternity.
Sad face.
Oh, well.
I wanted to love you. Give me unicorns.
Maybe Eternity 2.
Maybe.
Maybe. But that is it for this episode. Thank you, everyone, for sticking around and hanging out with us. Thanks again to Adam and John for coming on and killing time with us. That was a fun chat.
Yeah, it really was.
This was
not a speedrun episode.
No, not at all. The game is Purple Chicken Spaceman. It is available now on Xbox One for $10. Y'all should go check that out. Cole, do you have any final words before we get to the music?
Nope, good night.
Purple chicken, purple chicken, purple chicken, spaceman. Purple chicken, purple chicken, purple chicken, spaceman. Purple chicken, purple chicken, purple chicken, purple chicken, purple chicken, spaceman. The purple chicken is flying through space, dodging obstacles in his way. Spaceman. He's shooting down the UFOs. He's gonna save the day. Man. Yeah, when I first saw you flying through space, I knew you were no ordinary purple chicken. Purple chicken, purple chicken, purple chicken, space man. Purple chicken, purple chicken, purple chicken, space man. Purple chicken, purple chicken. chicken, purple chicken, spaceman. Purple chicken, purple chicken, purple chicken, spaceman.
Get messed up, baby, you know I feel so far from it.